Let me start with a Tuesday in October. Karen calls in sick, first time in 2 years. She's the kind of person who doesn't really call in sick. She usually works from the couch with a blanket and a fever because she doesn't quite trust things to hold without her. But this Tuesday, she's flat out. And here is exactly what happens. By 9:30, two people have texted her a question she'd normally answer in 30 seconds. By 11, a small decision that was supposed to happen that morning has just not happened because everyone agreed Karen would know how to call it. By 2 in the afternoon, her deputy has sent her a sorry to bother you message that is, in fact, a full briefing on 3 things that need her input. And Karen, lying there with a 102 fever and a box of tissues, is back on her phone, not because she's a bad manager, not because her team is weak, but because, very quietly, over years of doing everything right, she became the jar that everyone drinks from, and nobody had a clue how to refill it. Here's the question. This whole show is built around, what is a leader actually for? And here's the answer the books give, which is the opposite of what most of us were taught. A leader is not there to carry the most. A leader is there to build the kind of center that carries everyone, including the day Karen gets sick. Now, Karen didn't set out to build something fragile. She set out to be helpful, and she's very good at it. When someone got stuck, she stepped in. When a hard call needed to be made, she made it fast, because she's good at hard calls. When knowledge needed to get somewhere, she was the one who had it, so she just gave it directly. Every single one of those things is admirable. And every single one of them, done over years without passing it on, turned into a quiet trap. Because here's what it built, one good act at a time. It built a team where the knowledge lives in Karen's head, where the judgment calls wait for Karen's sign-off, where the connecting tissue, the person who holds the longer view and keeps the threads from snapping, is Karen, and Karen alone. We have a name for what Karen built without meaning to. She built herself into the load-bearing wall. Pull Karen out, even for a Tuesday, and the ceiling creaks. And here's the sad part. The teams that fall apart the fastest are usually the ones with the best leader at the center, because a great leader draws everything toward them, naturally. People trust them, so they ask them. Problems come to them because they solve them well. It's not bad leadership that creates this trap, it's good leadership, unexamined. Here's the idea at the heart of the first book, put as plainly as I can put it. Every group of people doing something together need the center. A place where the threads connect, where the longer view is held, where someone is paying attention to the whole and not just their own piece. That's real, and Karen feels it. It's why she carries so much. But there's a difference between being the center and holding it. Being the center means it lives in you. The knowledge, the judgment, the trust, it's all attached to your face and your brain, and the moment you're not there, it's not there. Holding the center means you're the one who makes sure all of that gets spread around. You're not the jar. You're the person who makes sure the jar gets filled, and that lots of people know how to fill it, and that it's sitting in the middle of the room where everyone can reach it, not in your briefcase. A center held that way can run the day you're at the dentist. It can survive a Tuesday fever. It can keep going long after you've moved on because it isn't held together by one set of hands. It's held together by what you built while you were there. And that is a gift to every single person on the team. Not just a strategy, a gift. Now I can already hear the pushback, and it's a fair one. It goes like this. If I give everything away, won't people just coast on it? If I hand off the hard calls, won't someone make the wrong call? If I spread the knowledge around, won't it get watered down? These are real questions, and they deserve a real answer, not a pep talk. Let me take them one at a time. The fear about coasting, that someone will just ride on what you built without putting anything in, is real, and it does happen. But notice what it actually tells you. If your team coasts the moment you stop carrying everything, that's not a sign that your team is lazy. It's a sign that the center was never theirs. They were passengers in Karen's operation, not people with real ground to stand on. People who own a piece of the center don't coast on it. They hold it because it's theirs to hold. The fear about wrong calls is also worth taking seriously. But the books are very clear on something here. A team that can only make the right call when Karen is in the room is a team that has never learned to make calls. And a team that has never learned to make calls is one call away from a crisis, because Karen will not always be in the room. The answer is not for Karen to make every call. The answer is for Karen to teach the judgment out loud while she's there, so the team learns the reasoning and not just the answer. That is harder than just deciding. It takes more time on the front end, and it is the most valuable thing a leader can give. There's a body of work on how teams hold together when the person at the center is removed. The findings are worth knowing, and I'll keep this plain. When one person carries most of the knowledge and most of the connections, what researchers call a hub, the team gets very efficient in the short run because everything moves fast when it all goes through one place. But that same setup makes the team very easy to break. Pull the hub out for any reason and most of the connections break with it. The more everything ran through one person, the worse the damage. Teams that had spread their knowledge across many people, where several people knew the important things, where more than one person could make the judgment calls, held together far better when anyone left for any reason. This is not a management idea. It is how networks work, in nature and in people alike. And here is the part that matters for this show. The leader who builds the hub by accident is not being selfish. They're being helpful in the short run and, without knowing it, fragile in the long run. Here is the other thing the research points to. People in spread teams, where more than one person holds the important knowledge, tend to feel more settled. They know what to do when something changes. They are not waiting for one person to tell them because they already know the answer. That is a very different feeling from, "I hope Karen is back by Friday." Knowing all of this changes what helpful means. The most helpful thing you can do for your team today is to give the knowledge away, on purpose, to more than one person, before you need to. So what does it actually feel like to make this shift? Because Karen knows, on some level, that she's carrying too much. And she's tried to hand things off before. She's delegated, she's said you've got this. And then the thing didn't get done the way she would have done it, and she quietly picked it back up. The thing nobody tells Karen, and this is important, is that holding the center instead of being it is not a handoff. It's a teach. It is slower at first. It is sitting with someone while they do the thing wrong the first time and letting them work through it instead of taking it back. It is saying out loud, "Here is how I would think about this," and meaning the reasoning, not just the answer. It is giving someone the real background, the why and the history and the judgment calls, not just the steps. And here's what happens when you do that. Something shifts in the person you've handed real ground to. They stop waiting for permission. They start thinking about the whole, not just their piece, because now they carry a piece of the whole. The jar, in their hands, belongs to them a little, and so they handle it with care. And Karen? Karen gets a Tuesday off. A real one, where her phone stays on the nightstand and the ceiling doesn't creak. That's not stepping away from the team. That is the point. That is the whole point of building something that holds. So here is your one thing for this week, and I want to be clear that this is a give, not a test, not a performance review, not a way to figure out who's ready, just a give. Find the one piece of work that lives mostly in your head right now, the thing your team would not know how to do if you weren't around. It might be a process. It might be a standing judgment call. It might just be the background history on a thing that matters. Pick one person. Sit with them. Tell them the whole of it. Not just the steps, but the reasoning behind it, the things that surprised you, the calls you got wrong along the way. Let them ask questions. Do not rush it. If they get confused, stay with the confusion. That is the part worth working through, and that is the part they will remember. Let the knowledge stop living only in your head and start living in two heads instead of one. You are not giving up your role. You are not getting smaller. You are giving someone real ground to stand on, and you are making the center wider than it was yesterday. And the next time you're out on a Tuesday, something will hold that didn't hold before. Not because you set it up, but because you gave it to them, and it became theirs. That is what the books call a leader who gives first, not a hero. A person who holds the center open, wide enough for everyone. So that's where this show starts. Not with a new management system, not with a framework. With one quiet truth from the books, a leader's real job is not to carry the most. It's to make sure the center holds for the people who are counting on it. Give one piece of real knowledge away this week. Watch what it does to the person you give it to. Now, here's where we go next, because the next doubt is already forming. It sounds like this. If I give this much away, if I really spread it out, won't someone take advantage? Won't someone just take what I built and walk with it? That is a fair fear, and the books have an answer for it. It's the whole of the next episode. Come back for it, watched over, as always, by Daisy.